Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the Ostrava Camera Oco, the 7th edition of the festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by cinematographer John Andreas Anderson, who's here actually. Two of your works are here, Headhunters and King of Devil's Island, and you also just had a masterclass, so plenty to talk about here, but so thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, nice to be here.
So, well, let's start off with a very simple kind of question. These two films that you have kind of worked on, can you tell us a little bit about what it was, maybe something that, some contrasts that took place and during the work of these films?
Well, the first one, the one that's called King of Devil's Island, it's more of like an epic drama. It's based on a true story. Kind of a dark part of Norwegian history. It's the only time in the history of Norway that Norway's army was used against its own citizens. There was this, it was from 1915, it's a period film, and it was about when these boys, it's a boys' home on an island, and there's a revolt, and the army is actually then put in up against these boys, very young boys. So that's the one film I have here. The other film is more of like a fun kind of action thriller-like movie. It's called Headhunters. It was directed by Morten Tildum, that maybe many people now know about, that he also directed The Imitation Game and was Oscar-nominated last year. This film, Headhunters, was maybe the most successful Norwegian film internationally in recent years. It did really well in the UK and a lot of other countries, so that was also a very fun project to work on.
So the next question I wanted to ask you was, obviously the festival is kind of focusing, paying tribute to a kind of Scandinavian Nordic kind of cinematography that I personally love, and I'm not the only one. It's very universally revered, celebrated, and it's very influential in itself. Obviously, having you here, and you represent a big chunk of it in today's cinema, I'd just like to maybe tell you a little bit about why you think it's so universally celebrated and what makes it what it is.
It's kind of a hard thing to say, but I think, I mean, for most people, maybe when you say Nordic light, they would think about this very sort of simplistic way of lighting, you know, very natural light, and often has this coolness to it, maybe. So maybe the cliche of the Nordic light is what people think of is Bergman, and you know, maybe the work of Sven Nyquist, like the old Scandinavian masters.
Right, and you actually you worked for them at the start of your career, right?
I did. Yeah, I was very fortunate to when I was 20 something, I had just been accepted at film school, but then I got the chance to work as an assistant for Mr. Nyquist. So then I didn't go to film school at that time. I went to film school later, and I chose to spend 1 year with him instead, and that was actually fantastic.
In retrospect, that's really a great beginning for anyone. So it inspired you to go on and do the work that you did.
Yeah, it was really nice. He was a gentleman to work for, and he also had, you know, when you're young like that, you bring your notebook and you think you're going to write down all the tricks and steal them, but then in the end he just worked very simple and gave the actors movement, and he was just a very humble guy who did fantastic work.
Now let's talk about your work and the way that you work. Some cinematographers like to plan ahead and like they're very meticulous, very old school, I would add. Others are very completely the opposite, open to the environment and just improvising almost, very rock and roll like. What kind of a frame of work do you fall into?
I think I've sort of tried both schools during my career. I tend not to like to storyboard films because I think it, in the end, you have very little time and you have to make decisions very quickly on the set, especially on Scandinavian budgets. So if you have a storyboard, you may end up trying to find something that resembles a drawing that you made many months ahead, and that's really not the best way to find a good shot. And that being said, I do like to plan a lot, and especially if you have, of course, if you have action sequences or if you have special effects, visual effects, then you do need to plan, but then you can sometimes make animatics or small video videos ahead to plan. But I generally like to, and most of the directors that I work with, we like to make a shot list and but not storyboards. That gives us the freedom when you're, you know, when you're on the set, and you know, when the planets are aligned and there's some reflection hitting some window and bouncing off a tree, you know, you never know, and you can actually still keep your eyes open for the possibilities of what is actually on set.
Yeah, but then you see the collaboration with the director then is very, very important, I guess.
It's very important, of course, most of all with the director, but also with the actors and with the production designers. And I think maybe one advantage that we have when we work on smaller Scandinavian budgets is that we're very flexible. We're a smaller crew, and we can move more easily around.
Mm. Now, one of the topics that was obviously, I don't know, it's probably still quite hot. I see it talked about a lot, and this changeover from film to digital. I just very simply wanted to ask you whether you see digital as just being a language in itself, very different from film, and also just what you thought when this kind of happened, this revolution kind of happened.
I mean, there's so many good things about digital. I mean, I was introducing one of my films yesterday here at the festival, and it was actually being screened at an old film print. And when I saw it, I thought, oh my God, it's everything is shaking, and it sort of has forgotten about how film production was. But that being said, once I saw the images, I was really happy because, you know, of course, a film print has something organic to it, and there's some soul and life in it, and texture in it that really is, you know, the cinema that I fell in love with. But I do like the revolution that has happened in terms of screening, you know, that we've stopped using film prints and started using digital projection. In terms of the camera part of it, it's also lots of interesting stuff that has happened now on the digital front. I think the only danger is that on the set now these days, it's maybe a little bit harder to get people to focus on, you know, that what we're doing now is really important, and what we, now everyone has to be quiet, the mobile phone has to be off, you know, and it was a bit more of a holy moment when you pushed the button on the film camera, because everyone on the set knew that film would only go one way, it won't go back again the other way in the camera. Yeah. So you knew that if you wasted that film, you wasted it forever.
Is that like a way saying you get perhaps getting too comfortable sometimes?
Yeah, it's more about it that people felt that what you're doing is important, because and in the end it's of course it's the same importance if you're shooting digital or film, but it's just that focus and that discipline on set that film gave you, that's something that we need to try to keep with us and bring also into the digital world, because even though it's, you can always say, well, it doesn't matter because it's just hard drive, we can just erase it. But I think that's not a good way to think.
Yeah, that inspires another question that's kind of like, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit. This is happening here with the digital, and we can kind of both agree that, like, as you said, film is more organic. And then in between, there was like VHS tapes and this look that is actually used too. Maybe nowadays with more credibility even before, you know, when it first came out. That's quite interesting. Now, that makes me think, is the way in which you shoot a film, you know, the equipment that you use, a language in itself, away from the actual whatever you capture?
I mean, it's just one of many choices you make when you try to choose the tools that you're going to use to tell your story. I mean, and it goes from, you know, the color of a wall or the color of a sweater, or, you know, what kind of lenses you're going to use, or what kind of camera you're going to use. It all adds up. It's just a lot of subtleties that you hopefully, you know, when you add them together, it will make a meaningful whole. It's just alone one decision doesn't make that much of a difference, but all of them hopefully will, you know, help you tell the story you want to tell.
Do you think it would be legitimate maybe to start learning about the visual art in school from an early age to get maybe people passionate about cinema?
I mean, yeah, I think it's probably a good idea, but I think at the same time, every new generation has, you know, visual storytelling even more in their blood. It is really weird when if I at home to my young son show him something, some dailies that's just maybe some cuts from one day of shooting a film, and he will maybe look at those cuts and he will tell me most of the story of the film just from looking at those cuts. And He's a young boy, but it's just, you know, I think the, you know, every new generation is even more literate in the visual language, and they will recognize the plots, they will recognize the characters, because they've seen them since they were born, you know. So it, I think in a way, yes, it would be great to maybe open up other worlds, because there will be things that the kids of today will maybe miss if we don't show it to them. But on the other hand, in terms of reading visuals and reading and visual storytelling, the kids of today are of course much more advanced than you and I.
Well, there you go. That's quite an interesting take. Listen, we're out of time, but it was a great pleasure meeting you, and thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Nice meeting you too.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.